Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How to tell someone they're out of a job. Today on Advanced. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, August 4th, 2026, for day two of our management article for the month of August, Delivering the Worst News at Work. It will always feel personal when firing someone. So this is an article, perhaps one treating the experience of being laid off, of being fired from a job, treating it from a different perspective. I think most articles we might come across on this subject are when you're the one who's being fired or let go or laid off. But this one takes the perspective of the person who has to deliver that news, who has to tell someone that they're being let go, that they do not have a job anymore with this company, and that we might not always feel sympathy for that person because, after all, they get to keep their job and we're the ones losing our job if that's who we are. But nevertheless, we are all human beings, and good human beings, at least, will feel the challenge of delivering this kind of news to someone that they no longer have a job at their company. So we'll read through day two of our article. We'll talk about the vocab in it and give you a chance to practice your English. And by we, of course, I do mean myself and my co-panelist returning from yesterday. Please welcome back Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone. Happy to be back, and I'm glad I'm not laid off. I'm still on Advanced.
It's good to have you still with the company, Rebecca. No layoffs are anticipated during this broadcast. But speaking of which, one of the things we talked about in our article yesterday was the idea that there is a wrong way. There is a right way, but also a wrong way to lay someone off. And we met a former Google employee yesterday who found out that he was being laid off by email. He did not have a conversation with someone, just an email saying that his services would no longer be needed for the company. We learned about his manager, this same employee's manager, learned that he'd been laid off because he tried to enter an office building and his badge didn't work. And that led to him finding out that it was because he was no longer an employee with the company. So, Rebecca, have you or do you know anyone in your family or friends who was laid off in a wrong way?
Well, I can't say it's the wrong way, but I will say it was similar to Vivek's experience, except at that point, I think he just went to the office that day and he just got an email that he is laid off. He got an email that he was laid off, and then they sent someone to stand by his desk while he packed up his desk and cleaned out his computer, and he had to leave that day. And I mean, it was similar to Vivek. He also worked for a very large global tech company, and usually when they do layoffs, it's like that. It could be a massive layoff of a lot of people, because they tend to hire a lot of people when the economy is doing well. And if they have a drop in profit, it's likely they're going to lay off people. That's just the nature of that kind of business. And he was laid off. And I know my friend, it took him about maybe a year to really get over it, because it was the first time he was laid off. And he was always a good performer. So he was really shocked that he was laid off.
Yeah, and that idea of having someone stand there while he cleaned out his desk just to make sure he did actually go and leave. That also is something the author of the article here would probably not recommend, because it communicates distrust. It communicates, you know, you need to have someone watch over you because we have so little faith in your ability to just simply leave and clean out your desk like a normal human being. So we're going to, you know, put this person here to watch you. We're going to chaperone you, as we sometimes say.
Well, part of the reason is they're afraid that you will take away important files from your computer. So part of the reason they often stand by and observe the entire process is they have to make sure that you don't take anything off out of that company that is valuable to that company. For example, maybe your customer list, your customer contact list. I mean, there are things that they're afraid you'll take away. So that's why often they will have someone observe the entire process. But it is humiliating and it's terrible. And I don't think anybody likes it.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously everyone else is seeing that you're being observed, you know, and it sort of drives home the point, announces to the world that you are fired.
Yes.
So it's a delicate business. There's certainly right and wrong ways to do it. And that's one reason I do enjoy this article, because I think it addresses something that needs to be addressed. People need to know that there are right and wrong ways to do this sort of thing. And that's what the remainder of our article today will explore. So with no further ado, let's jump right into the remainder of our article here. We'll do two readings today. Let's go into our first reading now.
Exhibit professionalism and respect. This is why experts recommend conducting layoffs in person. Employees deserve personal communication, says Victor Lipman, who provides coaching on mindful management. Laying someone off face-to-face exhibits emotional maturity in leadership. While you should be physically present to lay someone off, it's best if no one else is. Ideally, layoffs should be conducted in a private, neutral space, like a quiet meeting room, says clinical psychologist Melanie McNally. Be clear and direct, avoiding euphemisms. For instance, you might feel compelled to cushion the blow with something like, "We're going through a rough time financially now at the company. But if things turn around, I'd love for you to get your job back." That likely doesn't represent a promise you can keep.
Okay, so our first section here, subhead, exhibit professionalism and respect. Exhibit, there's a word that we might normally hear in the noun form. We're going to an exhibit of paintings by Pablo Picasso at the museum. But in this case, the verb form, exhibit, means basically the same thing as the noun form, to show, to display something in some way. And so you are encouraged to display or to show professionalism and respect when you are letting someone go. And the section begins here by saying, experts recommend conducting layoffs in person, as opposed to the email examples or the not working badge that we were just talking about. Experts recommend conducting layoffs in person, face to face. Why is this, Rebecca?
Well, because it shows respect to the other person. And I've been thinking about today's article and yesterday, what we talked about. I mean, what we're learning here is not just for laying people off. This is for any very difficult conversation you need to have. This could be like you want to break up with someone, you want to get a divorce. You shouldn't do it by text message.
Yes.
Like you didn't text someone and say, "I want to break up with you." Yes. You should give them the respect, at minimum a phone call. But I mean, if it's somebody you've been seeing for a while, it shouldn't be a phone call. It should be in person.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same logic here. It's that person deserves your time.
Yeah.
Like you should sit there, look at them, and treat them like a human being. It should not be some robot giving them an email saying you're fired.
Right, right, because that implies that you think of them, basically, as a robot, not a person with feelings, not a person with emotions. If you act in a robotic way, it communicates that I think of you as a robot, just a machine, and I simply need to give you the raw information that your employment here is terminated, and that's it. Now, obviously, there's a strong temptation to do that because feelings are messy and no one likes to disappoint people and no one likes to enter into that discomfort and pain. So,
you know what the worst thing is actually, Peter? This is not so much the employer usually, but you know, I've worked in places where there's some young employees, they come in and then they come into work for 1 week and then they just disappear. And then HR tries to message them. Like they block the HR's calls. They don't take calls. And you just don't know what happened to them. They just disappeared. Actually worked in a place like this where we had a young person come in and that person just ghosts you. Ghost. Like become a ghost.
Become a ghost. Disappears.
And when you say someone ghosts you, we use the verb ghost. It just means they just disappear completely from your world.
Yeah.
And now whether that's in dating relationships or work relationships, that is not okay. It's not okay to ghost your employer. Right. It's not okay to ghost someone you're dating. You should have at least man up or woman up, you know, have the guts to tell them what's going on.
Right, right. It's certainly a temptation, but it is, you know, a temptation doesn't mean it's good. Temptation, we use that word to mean things that are appealing in some way, but are usually not things we should do. And as the article says, employees deserve personal communication. And this is said by a gentleman named Victor Lipman, who provides coaching on mindful management. Mindful, a 21st century kind of term that, as I understand it, basically means caring, thoughtful, aware of other people's feelings, instead of always just looking at the bottom line or just raw numbers, mindful management. If you lay someone off face-to-face, it exhibits, there's that word again, emotional maturity in leadership. So think of it that way. You know, if you think of yourself as a leader or you are in a leadership position and you want to appear like a good leader, if you are faced with a difficult job of laying someone off or maybe several people, do it face-to-face because people deserve that communication, they deserve respect, and it makes you look like a better leader. Now, in our next paragraph here, it also says specifically that you should be, you the person doing the layoff, you should be physically present to lay someone off, but it's best if something else. It's best if what, Rebecca?
Well, it's best if it's just you and the person you're laying off. Like, right. You don't do it in a group setting. Like, you don't do it at the end of a meeting and say, okay, now I want to talk to Billy, you are laid off.
Yes.
You know, that'd be really cruel. Like, you got to do it in private.
Right. Or to use the example of the guy whose badge suddenly didn't work, you do it in the IT department. And so now it's a public announcement in IT that you have been laid off. You discover it there. And that is not the method that is being described here. You lay someone off, you have that conversation with them face to face, but just the two of you. It's best if no one else is physically present. A clinical psychologist we meet here, Melanie McNally, says that layoffs should be conducted in a private, neutral space, like a quiet meeting room of some sort. And I don't know about you, Rebecca, but when I read this particular suggestion, I thought, once again, you know, I thought of a movie, in this case, the movie Jerry Maguire, in which Tom Cruise plays a sports agent who is laid off near the beginning of the movie, and that sets him down the path of a sort of professional and personal growth period in his life. Do you remember that scene I'm talking about?
Yes.
In which he is laid off, and the news is given to him by a colleague of his with the memorable name of Bob Sugar. And he does it, they're sitting down to breakfast in a restaurant.
That's horrible. Just horrible.
And the sugar guy says, Jerry, I'm here to fire you, with a barely repressed smile because he's very competitive and is glad that, you know, Jerry is no longer going to be a competitor for sports clients for him. These guys are sports agents. But that is an example, at least, of a private, well, maybe not a private, but a neutral space, a restaurant, a cafe of some sort, as opposed to being called into the boss's office or even in your own office. There is just something about where, and I think this would apply to breakup too. I've often heard that you should break up with someone in a romantic relationship, a personal relationship. You should do that in a public setting because then there will hopefully be a sense of restraint in their response because they're in a public setting. Because,
right.
You know, they may not yell as loudly as they might. They may not throw dishes as they might if you were in private somewhere or if you were in someone's home where they could really let loose with their anger and disappointment and such. Instead, in a public space, there's always that sense of, you know, let's not air our dirty laundry in public, as it were. But then in the final paragraph of our first section here, it says, be clear and direct, avoiding... What is that big word there, Rebecca?
Euphemisms. Euphemism. What is a euphemism? A euphemism is basically something very polite. It's a polite expression, polite word that you say because it sounds good, but it's very indirect.
Yeah.
It doesn't get to the point. Can you give me an example, Peter? What is a euphemism?
An example of a euphemism. Well, you have to be careful with this because they're usually used to disguise sexual terms and to communicate ideas like that. But avoiding a euphemism.
Or like, for example, using an idiom. Like, for example, using a lot of idioms and metaphors instead of using direct, clear sentences with strong verbs.
Right.
I think usually when we're teaching writing, like we want students to use strong verbs. Because if you have strong verbs, then usually we can be more direct. So I think part of it is don't like use like flowery phrases and idioms like, oh, the sun is about to set. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like
people
don't understand what you're saying.
Right.
You need to get direct to the point. Use strong verbs.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a good example of a euphemism that's just occurred to me. When someone, I'm tempted to use one just in describing it, but when someone dies.
Yeah.
We very often use a euphemism. We don't just say, oh, I'm sorry that, you know, so-and-so died. We say, I'm sorry to hear that they've passed or that they've gone to a better place or that we will, you know, the simple fact is they've died. And that can mean different things to different people depending on your worldview. But nevertheless, the raw fact of it is that the person has died, a person has left our lives now, and we are very tempted to use euphemisms, and sometimes there's even a value in using a euphemism. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it just means to, our next vocab word here, it's something we use to cushion the blow. To cushion the blow means to make something not as difficult as it not as unpleasant as it might be otherwise received. And we'll use a euphemism to do that. But you want to, in the case of firing someone, the author counsels us to avoid euphemisms. Like, for example, the example he gives here, we're going through a rough time financially now at the company, but if things turn around, I'd love for you to get your job back. Rebecca, though, why shouldn't we say that if we have to fire someone?
Well, this is basically an empty promise we can't keep. Because first of all, you say, we're going through a rough time financially. I would feel much better if the company said, we actually lost $3 million this quarter. Then I'll feel like your layoff is more justified. When you say a rough time financially, what does that really mean? It's not very, very direct. And then if things turn around, what do you mean with if things turn around? Does that mean the company makes a profit of $10
million?
Like, what do you mean if things turn around?
When have we hit that
I'd
point?
Love for you to get your job back. Now, that's completely meaningless. I'd love for you. Well, that's what the person doing the firing is saying, but they don't have the power. They're not the boss. How can you promise someone they'll get their job back?
Yeah,
unless you really intend to do it.
Right. It's maybe a nice way of saying that, you know, this is nothing personal. I think you're a great person. I'm sorry we have no job for you. If you could work here again, I would be happy. But as we're saying here, that is not something that you can necessarily make happen, not something that you can turn into a reality. So the author counsels that you're actually better off not even expressing that sentiment.
Yeah, you better not.
Yeah.
And this could also get you into legal trouble.
Because
if your conversation is recorded and you make any promise that you can't keep, this could be used against you, potentially.
Yeah, very much so. All right. Well, with that in mind, let's go on to the second section of our article today, the final section, in which we talk about how this news may be received by the person that we are delivering it to, by the person that we are laying off. Let's go into our second section now.
Prepare for strong reactions. Bad reactions to getting laid off run the gamut, says Kovach. From tears to physical outbursts to even suicidal ideation, responses reflect the fact that losing a job is a massive detrimental shakeup to someone's life and well-being. Take time to listen to the employee and validate their feelings. Provide support resources, either from within your company or an outside job placement organization, and give concrete details about severance packages. Not everyone handles these emotions calmly. Even if you exude calm while conducting the layoff, people are very capable of making a scene in a layoff situation, says Lippman. You want to be sure you have some backup in case anything goes wrong. security, if it comes to that. Feeling bad means you care. It's normal to feel guilt, sadness, or even anger after laying someone off, McNally says. At the end of your day, reassure yourself that this was something you had to do in the management role that you were in, Lippman says. If you offered empathy and clarity during a layoff, then it's better you conducted it than someone who considered it just business.
Okay, so as we might guess, prepare for strong reactions when you're telling someone they're laid off. Most of the time, they will probably not be too calm about that. And it says, bad reactions to getting laid off run the gamut, says Kovach. Run the gamut, a nice phrase there that just means to experience a wide range of something. If something runs the gamut, it means there's all different kinds of ways from really, really this to really, really that to run the gamut. And what sort of responses could you anticipate, Rebecca?
Well, tears, physical outbursts, maybe yelling and screaming, even suicidal ideation. Suicidal ideation just means ideation here, just means the idea of suicide. Maybe they'll threaten, I'm going to jump off the building.
Yeah.
So you might have, I mean, you can understand it. This is like people are shocked. And when people are shocked, they often have an emotional reaction.
Right, right. And it goes on to say, losing a job is a massive, detrimental shakeup to someone's life and well-being. Two good vocab words there, Rebecca. What are we talking about?
Well, detrimental means it's damaging, it's harmful. And shakeup, well, shakeup, I think of my protein shake I drink in the morning.
Yes.
You shake it up. So when you have
a good shake up,
it's like a major change in a company, organization, a major change in a system.
Right.
So you shake it up. I shake that powder with my milk to make sure that it's all evenly spread out.
Right.
It's a major shakeup.
Right. But if you're inside the bottle, it's probably not so much fun. If your life is what's being shook up,
yes,
as with someone who's just lost their job, then a shakeup is an earthquake. It is not something that you want to go through. And so this is why you want to be prepared for strong reactions that may run the gamut. A strong reaction, we might initially think of someone who pounds the table, and it could be that, but it, as the author says, it could also be tears, or it could also be something very quiet but very dark, like, oh my goodness, I've lost my job. I don't know what to live for anymore. How will I go on? And person talking like that might, you know, start be thinking about suicide. So the author gives us three clear things to make sure that we do when we face a strong reaction to laying someone off. In this next paragraph, there's three things here. The first one, take time to listen to the employee and validate their feelings. Validate, meaning to make someone feel that their ideas and feelings are respected and considered seriously, to validate their feelings. What's the second one, Rebecca?
Provide support resources. When we hear we're talking about support resources, perhaps I can refer them. I can say, oh, I have a friend working at so-and-so company, or I have a headhunter friend. I have friends who are in recruiting. Like maybe make an intro, introduce them to those friends. And then support resources, perhaps sometimes there's government agencies that help people, especially in reskilling. Reskilling means teach usually middle-aged people a new skill for the job market. So you can give them some useful contacts or tell them where to look. That would be very helpful.
Right, right. You can do this in addition to just giving them the raw information that they're fired, that they've been let go. You can provide support for them in this way by suggesting these organizations or contacts that they might want to avail themselves of. And then third, here in the paragraph, give concrete details about severance packages. Severance, a word we learned yesterday, meaning money or other things that you get when you have to leave a company because your employer no longer has a job for you. So it goes on then to say, not everyone handles these emotions calmly, even if you exude calm. I love that word, exude. What's that mean, Rebecca?
Exude just means that even if you if you show it, if you exude something, it means you show a quality. So even if you look really calm, maybe you're not really calm.
Right, right. And so they're saying that, the author is saying that even if you exude calm, nevertheless, that's not necessarily going to help the person to feel calm. You want to take these active steps that we just lined out, these three steps, in addition to exuding a calm manner, you also want to give them the support, listen to them, and give clarity about details about severance packages. And, you know, we live in a real world here, so be sure to have some backup, the author says, in case anything goes wrong, security if it comes to that. And then finally, feeling bad means you care. I love this last subhead here. It just, gives us some support. Feeling bad is not fun, but it does mean that you care. It means that you care about people and the people you lead more, enough to send them more than an email when you have to lay them off. It's normal to feel guilt, sadness, or even anger after laying someone off. For you, the person who lays them off, to feel anger or sadness, McNally says, and at the end of your day, reassure yourself that this was something you had to do in the management role that you were in, says Lipman, Victor Lipman. And then right there, in the last paragraph, it's a great summing up. There's just when you have to lay someone off, if you're in that position, make sure you offer two things. If you've offered these two things, then you've done the best you can do in this situation. What are those two things, Rebecca?
Empathy. So when you show empathy, it means you walk in someone else's shoes. So you feel compassion for them. And then clarity. Clarity just means you're very clear. You've been very clear during this process.
Right. You've been clear about severance. You haven't made promises that you can't keep. You haven't used euphemisms to try to cushion the blow, even if, with good intentions. Nevertheless, offer them empathy, offer them clarity, and then it's better that you conducted this laying off than someone who considered it just business, like the gangsters we talked about in American Godfather movies. It's just business. No, that's the complete wrong way to lay someone off. And hopefully, viewers and listeners, you've learned a little bit today about this difficult work of laying someone off or delivering bad news, disappointing someone. We encourage you to join us another time for another topic when we will have even more English vocab for you and some more thoughts to unpack. But for today, we must bid you farewell. I'm Peter.
Rebecca.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.